Hello and welcome to Off Curve. I'm Wicked Good and I'm talking to you about Hearthstone on my drive home from work. It is Thursday, May 31st, 2018, last day of the season. I am very happy to say that I got Legend again this month. I was, when I left you the last time that we spoke, I was optimistic, but I wasn't certain that I was going to be able to get to Legend this month, and I was a little bit frustrated that I got really close before the nerfs came down, and then everything kind of, the earth kind of, you know, changed out from under me. So I started out with, if you'll recall where we left off last week, I had gotten up to rank 2 with Even Shaman, was able to get up to rank 1, and then the wheels kind of came off. And so I had switched over to Even Warlock and was having some success with that, but not enough to break through. So I was doing okay with Even Warlock, and then I went home after I finished recording Friday night for the episode that I released on Sunday. I got home and just tanked. I went from like 1.1 rank 1 4 stars to like rank 2 3 stars with like one win in that streak, and I was like, okay, this is not working. Like, I wanted to stick with the deck, but at the same time I kind of knew when I needed to call it quits, and it just, like, I knew that it was probably a good deck, but I wasn't piloting it right, and I didn't really want to be learning a brand new deck at rank 1, rank 2. So I tried to look for something that I was a little bit more familiar with. Started looking around. I found Quest Warrior was supposed to be good. So I tried that, but I didn't really have any success with that at the time. We're going to talk about Quest Warrior later, because that turned out to be, I may not have had an optimal list, or it may not have been good for the meta that I was seeing. But I think that what you need to remember when I'm talking about all this is that I was not really seeing anything close to like as stable of a meta as you would get in the first couple days, because not only was it really early and there wasn't really a meta, but on top of that, when you're playing at like rank 1, you're going back and forth between playing other players between 5 to Legend and playing against low Legend players, and even in some cases I was getting matched up against people at like rank, like between 1,000 and 1,500 Legend when there were 4,000 Legends in NA. So, like, whatever I was seeing was just, like, completely random. Like, I didn't know if I was going to be seeing someone who was tryharding who had the new best deck, or if they had, like, something that they were trying, that they've been dying to play for a month, and they're a low Legend, so, you know, let's just try it, right? I found I was running into a lot of big spell mages, and big spell mage, I don't know how good the matchup is for Even Warlock in general against big spell mage. I can tell you that I was not having a very fun time with it. I found that I didn't really know how to sequence my threats to be effective against that deck, and whenever I would try to set something up, I would just get cleared repeatedly, and then they'd get Jaina on curve almost to a T, and then that was it. So I decided I needed to bail on that. Quest Warrior really didn't do much better, and so I decided, like, let's go to HS Replay and see what other people had success with. So, you know, when you pay for premium, and this is something really important that you need to know if you're using something like HS Replay or Vicious Syndicate, is that if you're not paying for the premium, and I highly recommend that for at least one of these tools if you are serious about climbing, if you're not paying for premium, you're seeing all of the decks. Sometimes they'll let you limit it to the current patch, but it's still like rank 20 and up, and those metas are very, very different. So I generally, when I go into HS Replay, I like to limit it to whatever tier I'm at, whether it be 5 to Legend or Legend only, and then last 3 days, because that typically will give me a better idea of what the meta is looking like now for what I'm seeing, as opposed to what everybody has seen for like the last month, which is the default. So I did that, and I looked through expecting to see like a lot of odd paladin and odd rogue and stuff like that, and I did see some of those in late, but what I saw as like the second highest deck was Kathrina Hunter. I'm like, okay, you know what? let's do this. I've got a bunch of dust. I've been wanting to craft King Crush for a while. Let's just do this, and we'll see what happens. So that was kind of late-ish on Friday. I got on a pretty good streak, got myself up to rank one star, and then decided I was going to call it a night because it was already late, and I didn't want to, like, start. I basically went until I lost, and then I lost at rank one, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's call it a night. I'm tired. I'll pick it up in the morning. My wife Maureen wanted to play some, so I built a deck for her because that's a deck she'd been wanting to play for a long time, and then got her up from 18 to 15, like, lickety-split. Like, I don't even know if we lost one game in the course of that. And then, okay, I'm like, fine, this is a good deck. This is enough practice for me, you know, in kind of a safer spot, so I'm just going to do it. And then I, you know, just sat down, and I got there. And what was funny was that I faced two Taunt Druids as, like, my last two matches to get to Legend. I don't think the deck's supposed to do that well against Taunt Druid, but I don't think they knew what they were seeing. And I'm actually going to link... There's this really good post, by the way. Also, if I'm, like, more out of it than usual, like, I just got over stomach flu yesterday, and so I haven't had any caffeine today. So I'm just kind of running on fumes. So if I'm a little more all over the place today than normal, I apologize. But so I found this link on Reddit that I'll link about, like, deck selection and how it can benefit you. And one thing that they say that this says is that if you are picking a deck that is in a class where there's one dominant archetype and you're picking, like, a lesser known archetype, that can sometimes help you out a lot because people will mulligan incorrectly, and then that will kind of help you along in an indirect way. And I think that's part of what was happening, because Spell Hunter was generally the dominant hunter, and I was playing this other weird thing, and all of a sudden they see minions coming down, like, what the hell's going on? So I don't know how much of it was that. I'm sure that some of it was skill, but I finished up against these two Taunt Druids, and one of them I just started pressing. Like, I got all my death rattles on time. I was pressing in, and they finally managed to clear my board, and then I get the Lich King. So I drop the Lich King, and the Lich King gives me Death Grip. The Death Grip gives me a Carnivorous Cube out of their deck, and now I have two Lich Kings. And then finally they just conceded after that, because with two Lich Kings on board, but they haven't really been able to get any sort of a board going. It was pretty much the end of that. But even against the big spell mages, I was able to develop quickly enough. Like, and I'll talk about the deck more in detail, because this segment's already going long. But one of the things that happens against big spell mages is that they can really only clear one thing at a time. I mean, they can clear one board at a time, right? But if you have a death rattle that summons another Aatrop or summons another beast, like, they can clear that board. But it's very hard for them to use two of those spells at once because they're also expensive. So I could set up a board with, like, a death rattle and then another threatening minion, and then they have to kind of choose their poison, and then I'm still free to hit them in the face and continue developing. So I posted the list that I got to Legend with. There's been some refinement, and I'm going to talk about that list in this episode, because I think that the list that I played with was good for day one, but I think some of the refinements make it better against what's actually being played, as opposed to just, like, I have no idea what the hell's going on, so I'm just going to play this, and hopefully it'll help against everything. So that's what I want to talk about this week, is I have a few decks. Now that I've been playing in Legend Ladder, I've been trying to get over my I caught the car syndrome from getting to Legend by just experimenting with a bunch of stuff, because, like, I know I'm not getting my ranking up high. Like, I don't think I've gotten above, like, 4,000 Legend since I hit Legend, but I still want to try a bunch of things and kind of get an idea what's going to be useful for the next climb. So that's what I want to share with you this week. And I've got a few decks. We'll start with the Katharina Hunter, and there's a couple more options that I think are useful if you don't have the cards for that, or if you want to try something different. All right, so let's talk about some decks. And the first one I want to start with is, as you know, the deck that I took to Legend, which is the Katharina Hunter. This list is not the same one that I took to Legend, but I think the one that I took to Legend was better for what I was seeing then, and I think this is better for the meta as we see it now. Because, I mean, if you look at what the meta is, there's a lot of slow things, there's a lot of Druid, there's a lot of Shudderwalk Shaman. There's not really a ton of aggro. Like, there's not... Like, those decks have been chased out by some of these decks that can just throw up a wall of taunts. Even some of the Druids are able to run Spreading Plague, and that just stops a lot of those decks in their tracks because they can't burn. So... And they also armor up and they heal, so tempo mage isn't really super great. So you have a lot of mid-range to control decks, and you have a lot of slower decks. And this kind of does the Q-block thing, where it just gets going when things work out. It gets going very quickly, and it creates a series of threats that are very hard to address by a control deck that really only can afford to do one thing a turn. Again, that's what I was talking about with Big Spell Mage. Like, if you have a board with Death Rattle and then another big minion, like, what do? Do you polymorph the Death Rattle? Well, you still have an 8-8 to deal with. Do you meteor the 8-8? Well, maybe you now have a Death Rattle, or maybe you now have whatever popped out of Death Rattle. Excuse me. So, I think this is really strong against those types of decks. I only played with this list a little bit, but I think it's superior to the other one. So that's the one I want to talk about. So you have two copies of Candleshot, which are that's your early game control. You know, it's a weapon that lets you just kind of take out some of those little dirty minions. You've got two Hunter's Marks, which are really, really good. I've been impressed with how well they work, especially with some of the other cards, with Candleshot, with Flanking Strike, with Explosive Trap. Like, there's a reason that it gets run in Spell Hunter, and when even Warlock is a thing, and there are turn 3 8-8s coming out, being able to just answer that really cleanly is really important. So I think you really want two Hunter's Marks, just because there are so many big things in the metas right now. Two copies of Play Dead. This is basically your Dark Pact for this deck, and we'll get into it later, and I crapped on this card a lot when we did card reviews, but being able to actually just proc one of those things that's a really valuable Death Rattle is really strong. This one has a secret package of two copies of Explosive Trap, two copies of Freezing Trap, one copy of Venom Strike Trap, and two copies of Wandering Monster. I don't know that I like the Venom Strike. That might come out for a second Flanking Strike, because this list only runs one, but that's the secret package that's getting run, and those are all kind of the standard, except for the Venom Strike, those are all the kind of the standard secrets. Some lists of Spell Hunter are also playing one copy of Rat Trap, just to get an extra 6/6, and with the rest of the deck, that's not actually a bad idea, and now that I'm thinking about that, I might want to try that out too. You have one copy of Dire Frenzy, and this is a card that I was really excited about, and it didn't quite work as well as I thought it would, but now that I'm seeing it in this list, I like it a little bit more. And I was actually talking to Major Death about this today, and I wasn't impressed until I actually played it and then saw what it can do. So Dire Frenzy does a couple of things for you. So this deck is revolving around Kethrena Winterwisp and getting charging minions out quickly. Well, sometimes, as happens in recruit decks with a small number of impactful minions, you sometimes draw in the wrong order. So Dire Frenzy fixes that. It will either put more copies of a certain minion back into your deck, or if you say play a Charged Devilsaur and it sticks, then you can shuffle three 10/10 versions of that in, and all of a sudden you're back in business. So I think having one Dire Frenzy, especially given how slow the meta is a good call. We have one Flanking Strike because it's just good removal. We have two Serenite Chain Gangs because we want to stay alive to be able to get our combo off. We have one Spellbreaker because silence is good. We have two Spellstones because we're running a bunch of secrets, so we may as well have an alternate win condition. We're playing one Witchwood Grizzly. The original list ran two, and I do like only running one here because you generally don't need a big taunt a lot of the time. You want to punch people in the face. So being able to get out a Grizzly for free, a 3/12 for free, is good. But I don't think you necessarily want to, because sometimes you just get that instead of a charger when you really just want lethal. You have one copy of Deathstalker Rexxar because sometimes the Death Rattle recruit game doesn't really work out and you need an alternate win condition, and Rexxar gives you value for days. You have two copies of Seeping Oozling. So the rest of this is the recruit package. So I'll just kind of read this out all at once. So you have your top end of the deck is two copies of Seeping Oozling, which is the 5/4 for 6 that copies a Death Rattle in your deck. You have one copy of Silver Vanguard, which is a 3/3 for 7 that summons an 8-drop when it dies. You have two copies of Charged Devilsaur, which are the 7/7 for 8 that have charge but can't attack heroes with its battle cry. And one copy of Kethrena Winterwisp, it says battle cry and Death Rattle summon or recruit a beast from your deck. You have one copy of the Lich King, and then one copy of King Crush. So the idea is that you're going to get Seeping Oozling out on 6 or 7, and then hopefully you're going to play dead it and then trade it into something. The reason you have the Silver Vanguard is for redundancy. You really don't want to build around one Death Rattle when you're doing all of this work, right? So that's why you run the Silver Vanguard. So the Kathrina can pull a Witchwood Grizzly, one of the Devil Sores, or King Crush. The Vanguard can pull a Charged Devil Sore, Kathrina, or the Lich King. And that's really powerful. And being able to get either of those for redundancy on the Seeping Ooselings, and also just having more Death Rattles in your deck to find those things, is really important. And then you have the Dire Frenzies to be able to shuffle things back in. So you're basically trying to just... You're almost playing like a Spiteful Summoner deck with spells, really. Like, you're trying to just kind of stay even on board until turn 6 or 7, and then you unleash the fury of this Death Rattle package. And it's really hard for a lot of the slower decks to be able to handle all at once. Like, they may be able to deal with part of it, but ultimately, if you can... Sometimes you'll even run out an Oozling on 6, because, you know, if they have a Silence, great. And if not, if they do Silence it, they still have to deal with the 5-4, and you may have another Death Rattle in hand. So unless you have Play Dead, sometimes it's okay to just run this out on 6 and see what happens. But I found that against some of these slower decks, and again, especially against Taunt Druid, it takes those decks some time to get set up. And if you can get this going, this can really overtake very quickly. So some of the cards that were running the other list were Stitch Tracker, and you had a Firefly Kaliseth package, and... you had Houndmaster Shaw. I might like Houndmaster Shaw instead of one of those secrets. Houndmaster Shaw was really good about being able to utilize the Death Rattles to be able to chain into a really big swing turn, but sometimes it just fell flat. So I might like that back in the list, but I think this is a really good list for what's out there in the meta. And if you're... It's a lot of fun. Like, hitting people with dinosaurs in the face is just fun. So even if you're not winning all the time, at least you're getting to play King Crush, and King Crush, you know, makes people happy because he's a dinosaur. So again, I had a really good win rate with that. I was like 68% when I was climbing to Legend over 25 games, which is not a huge sample size, but you know, it doesn't super have to be when you're going from rank one. But I like this list a lot. I think you can take some people by surprise because they're going to be mulliganing for Spell Hunter, and they're going to think they have all the time in the world, and all of a sudden King Crush is running at their face. So I would give this a try, absolutely, especially if you want something different, because a lot of the decks, like, we play them a lot. Kathrina Hunter's never really taken off, and this is the first time that it has. So it's got a lot of cards you may not have played a lot, so that kind of keeps things fun, too. So I really recommend this deck a lot. All right, so the next couple of decks that I want to talk about together, and one of them I'm going to talk about very briefly because I can send you somewhere that does a much better job of talking about it than I can, especially because... I don't have as much experience with this deck as I would like, is Shudderwalk Shaman. And I'm going to send you the latest episode of Top Deck Kings for that, as I sometimes do for some of these, because Cream Puff spends a really, really long time, much longer than I could, going into all of the nuances of the deck and mulligans and everything. It's like a full deck guide. I would say if you're seeing a lot of slow stuff, this is kind of the new Quest Rogue or Quest Mage, where it has an inevitable win condition, and the decks that don't have a win condition, this will beat. Some of the aggro decks will beat it, but any of the slower decks, Shudderwalk Shaman has at least a fighting chance, if not, like, complete inevitability. So I'll link that episode of Top Deck Kings in the show notes. Go check that out. You should be listening to Cream Puff anyway, and I don't want to, you know, spend time repeating myself when he did a much better job than I'm going to be able to. I talked about that in deck in detail. The other quote-unquote best deck, or at least the one that's kind of taking off, there's a few different flavors of Druid that are... that are pretty dominant in the meta right now, and I'm going to say that I like Taunt Druid the best. I haven't tried Token Druid. I don't really like that style of deck a lot, so I know that it's going to frustrate me. So I haven't spent a lot of time with it, but I'll probably try it at least at some point. And there's like a Quest Druid and a Maligos Druid going around, and also a Togwaggle Druid in Standard. So this is like Warrior was like 2 years ago, when there's just like a whole bunch of different archetypes. But I think this is the most consistent one of those. So the list that I'm running, and this is kind of a slight modification of Tice's list that he took to Top 10 Legend in EU, except he was running Ultimate Infestation, and I found it was always stuck in my hand, so I put a Ferocious Howl instead. So, but otherwise, this is pretty much, you know, kind of the consensus list at this point. So it's two copies of Lesser Jasper Spellstone for cheap removal, two copies of Naturalize, which you use to either remove big threats or to... proc your Hadronox on 10 in order to get all your taunts back. Two copies of Wild Growth, two copies of Wrath, because you're a Druid deck that's not spiteful. One copy of Ferocious Howl, because your hand's almost always full, and that gives you draw and armor gain. Two copies of Witching Hour for the combo with the Hatronox, because you only run one beast, so that's what brings that back. Two copies of Branching Paths that either draw or get you armor or can give you lethal as like a pseudo-savage roar. You have two copies of Ironwood Golem and two copies of Oaken Summons, which kind of go together. The Ironwood Golem is kind of your cheapest taunt. Oaken Summons gets it out of your deck and gives you more armor. Two swipes, because they're good cards. Two Carnivorous Cubes, because that's how you activate the next couple of Hadronoxes off of the Witching Hour. Two copies of Nourish for ramp and for draw. Two Primordial Drakes, because they're big taunts. A Lich King, because it's a big taunt. One Dragon Catcher, because it's a big it gets you big taunts, and it comes out of the one copy of Master Oak Heart that you run in the deck. You have Hadronox, of course, and you have one copy of Sleepy Dragon, which is a really big taunt, and it also comes out of the Dragon Hatcher. So you're generally kind of trying to just stay even on board. You're ignoring your opponent, and then you get a bunch of taunts down, ideally with the Lich King first, and then you go either Oak Heart or Hadronox with Naturalize on 10. You bring back a board full of taunts, and then you will Witching Hour and Carnivorous Cube and repeat. The reason that I'm not 100% sold on this deck as the best, but I think it's worth playing, and I think it's worth playing to understand it, is just that there are a lot of different ways to counter this. Hex screws you twice because it will transform a minion and keep it from coming back, and then will also put a frog into your res pool. So, and then you also have things like Polymorph, which will do the same thing. We have Warrior has another way that I'll talk about in a second. So, the mirrors are kind of just like the old Quest Warrior mirrors. Like, it seems like it's just a matter of who finds Hadronox first, and there doesn't seem to be a way to really give yourself an edge in the matchup. But this wrecks a lot of things, and if you want to have a good matchup spread across the board, and you're not seeing a lot of Shaman, because I haven't really seen very much Spellmage at all. So if you're not seeing a lot of Shaman and you're not seeing a lot of Warrior, this is a really good deck that just kind of works well against the field. And again, it's worth playing it at least to understand it if you have the means, because you're going to see this a lot. All right, so the last deck that I want to talk about, which may be the one that you want to focus on, and I was just talking to Ridiculous Hat about this today, and he says that based on Vicious Syndicate, this is like the best deck. And having played it, I think it is. So it's Quest Warrior. And I think that this is really well positioned for the meta. It beats up on some of the really slow decks. It deals with aggro really, really, really well, especially Odd Paladin and to a lesser extent, Odd Rogue. And, you know, having that hero power just gives it a lot more juice than a lot of those decks in the mid game, so it can actually end the game before something like Shudderwatch Shaman can get it. So the list that I'm running, and I'm not sure where I got this from. I think I got it from HS Replay, and I don't know who to attribute it to. But it's one copy of Fireplume's Heart, which is the quest. You have two Shield Slams for removal. One Corner Sentry, and we'll get to that in a second. Two copies of Dry Whisker Armor, because along with Corner Sentry and just in general against some of these Flood decks, you can get a lot of armor off this. I've had some games where I was at like 70 life at one point without using Baku. So you can get a lot of armor off of Dry Whisker Armor. Two copies of Execute, because it's good removal. One copy of Slam, again, good removal and card draw. Two copies of Warpath, again, good removal and really, really good against Token Druid. Two copies of Acolyte Pain to draw, especially with all the Whirlwind effects. One Black Walled Pixie, because sometimes you need to do 16 damage and Eternity isn't good enough. Two copies of Phantom Militia, because that is pretty much like half your quest right by itself on turn 9. One copy of Reckless Flurry, because you can do things like Shield Block and Dry Whisker Armor and then clear a huge board. Two copies of Shield Block for armor and for card draw. Two Stonehill Defenders, because they're taunts that get you more taunts. Two Tar Creepers, because they're good taunts. Two copies of Blood Razor, again, for removal and for proccing things like Execute. Two copies of Brawl, because that's your primary board clear. Two Rotten Applebaums and one Primordial Drake, because they're good taunts. And also clear boards and Gilead. And this deck is, really good against everything. It's fantastic against aggro. Like, I've had boards where I've been able to clear like back-to-back boards of Whispering Woods into Soul of the Forest. I've been able to clear off Divine Shielded Silverhand Recruits. I've been able to clear off a whole board full of Hench Clan Thugs. Like, aggro has no chance of building a board against this deck. And the taunts get in the way of everything else, so the taunts will wall out the weapons and whatnot. Against Haunt Druid, you have Cornered Sentry. So what happens is that we talked about the odds when you get one of your minions hexed to get a beast back instead of a Hadronox off of Witching Hour. Well, that was a 50-50. This is putting three into your pool, so it brings those odds down to 25% on the first one. So, I mean, and 25% in this game is virtually zero. So you play a quarter century, they summon a 1-1 and they concede. And then you don't have to be able to clear the next two boards. So you clear the first board and then you're hitting them in the face for 8 while they're summoning a 1-1. So you win there. And against things like Big Spell Mage and whatever, you just have inevitability. You can clear boards, you can do a lot of damage. You can get ahead of Shudderwalk Shaman before they get to their inevitable win condition. I think that this deck is really well positioned. Again, it's a little bit slower, but everything in this meta is a little bit slower. So I think this is one way that you should be looking at going. I think that all of these decks are really good against the meta. Things could change. New things could come up. There are new decks being built every day, and I think we're going to see a lot more after both the ladder reset when everyone posts their list that got them the top X legend, and also after DreamHack Austin this weekend. We're going to see what's really good against this meta. But for right now, if you're looking to climb day one, I would look at one of these four decks and maybe some combination of them, because they all have different strengths and weaknesses against what you're facing. I think the Quest Warrior is probably the most well-rounded, but any of these decks can perform really well. So I would take a look at any of these really seriously. If you have any questions, you know, feel free to hit me up on Twitter or find me in a Discord. I'll be happy to talk about it. But I think that this is the way that you should be going, and then we'll have to revisit in a couple of weeks and see if the meta looks like that going forward. But I think these are all excellent choices. All right, so that's it for this week. As always, you can find the show notes for this show and every show at offcurve.com. You can also follow the show's Twitter account at offcurve for announcements of when new episodes go live. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Wicked Good. You should also find me casting United Hearthstone League at unitedhearthstoneleague.com. And I believe as of right now, I am slated to be casting at least part of the Coin Concede Listener League Finals on Sunday night, if you are hearing this before then. So go check that out at coinconcede.com. I'm friends with all those guys. I kind of got my start in being on stream with them, and I learned a lot from casting, from watching Cinder and Appa and Hat do it. So I'm really honored to be part of that and kind of take that full circle. You should subscribe to the UHL Rundown podcast, because they're doing a really great job of like splicing in all of the audio from the games along with the rundown of what's happening in the week. And this is as close as I've ever gotten to being like hearing my voice on an actual like sports podcast as an announcer. It's really, really cool. So I would check out what they're doing there. Also, this week had some really fun games that you want to check out. You can also follow me on Twitch. I'm Wicked Good FM. On Twitch, I will probably not be streaming this weekend because I'll be casting the Coin Concede Finals. But usually on Sunday nights, and I'm trying to work in an extra night here or there when I can. But that's been kind of sporadic. Please do leave a review on iTunes. It means a lot, for visibility for the show and just kind of fuel to keep this going. And it never hurts. I'm not fishing for compliments. I never am. But if you have any sort of a content creator who does work that you appreciate, do let them know, because it does really mean a lot. Like, I don't always know what to say when somebody compliments me, and that's just something weird like that, but I do always appreciate it. And I know that a lot of other content creators do, because sometimes when it's hard to to turn the mic on, like it kind of was for me a little bit last week, you knowing that there are those people there that really like what you're doing and appreciate what you're doing, it makes a big difference. So just if you like something, then tell them that you like them. Not necessarily even my show, but just in general. And if you do like this podcast and you want to support it, again, leaving the review is really good. Also, just telling a friend. There are people who ask for podcast recommendations or ways to get better, and shoot them my way. And I appreciate it. And thanks for spending your podcast time with me. On my drive home, it means a lot that you, choose to take your limited time commuting or whatever to spend it with me. So I really do appreciate that, and I'm glad that you find this content useful. And good luck to you in everything you do, and be good to each other. Have a great week, and I will talk to you soon.